Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction tribe? Today's one of those days we have so many forward thinkers coming in, but bringing a bunch of great conversations together. But before we start, let's begin with the end in mind. Credit where credit's due. Huge shout out to our big fan, Audrey Grubesic, who's one of our master facilitators, who made an introduction that started this conversation today. The main message we're going to be talking about, tribe, is that Source 2050 intends to offer a consumer-friendly, easy-to-use platform where builders can source and purchase the items necessary to achieve their performance goals. And so how this is going to benefit you is that the centralizing the knowledge of what products are used in high performance building and best practices for implementation is the first step to knocking down a large barrier to entry in the high performance building space. I couldn't agree more. And as a guy in the last 25 years in window and doors and owning my own company, it's one of the things that I've spent a lot of time trying to understand. How can we use better products to build better buildings and break down these silos and get rid of custody contractor and move this thing forward? We want to be builders of high performance, right? So in turn, removing this barrier is a necessary step to achieving market transformation and carving out a carbon neutral built environment. And I raise my hand and say, I've learned a ton about those terms from the Passive House Accelerator. So as a student who's attended a bunch of their workshops, I'm super excited to be able to have the founders come in and talk about that. And not only just the founder, we also have some other people that are passionate leaders and working with that. So how do we truly bring Passive House to economies of scale in the US? Tribe, I raise my hand and say, I've really struggled with this. It's so much easier to just give in and sell the same old standard production window that everybody else is just used to versus doing something better. And an Amazon-like marketplace for Passive House materials, hey, this may be the answer. So we get to have Michael Ingwe, he was an architect day-to-day and the founder of the Passive House Accelerator and a co-founder of the Source 2050 platform we're going to be talking about with him and his co-founder, John Knapp. And what's really fun is we also got to get to bring in Shannon Pendleton, who's been very passionate. I've loved all her stuff and her implementation and what she's been doing around sustainability design. And she is their in-house Passive House consultant. So we have different parts of this all coming together. And hopefully we can all learn. If you've never heard of Passive House Accelerator, we'll have all the information and the people that started this, but then taking that to the next level of sourcing product. So without further ado, let's go have as much fun as possible, learn about their favorite beverage and grow from there. Lock and load, tribe. Let's start with Michael. What's your favorite beverage?
Definitely Guinness.
Ooh, Guinness. All right. That's a good one. Well, let's move on to John. What's your favorite beverage?
I am partial to a porter. I don't know if I have a perfect one right now. Anchor Steam Porter is my longtime favorite, but there's a lot of great microbrews out right now with solid porters.
Yeah, on this chilly day here in Colorado, the porters definitely sounds nice. I'll be up in Breckenridge tonight. I think I'm going to stop and get me a porter on the way. There's one in Breckenridge called the Coconut Porter that I just love that on a good cold night. And lastly, Shannon, what's your favorite beverage?
Well, normally it's an extra dirty martini with three olives, but right now, since it's dry January, it's hot chocolate with marshmallows when I'm living dangerously.
Atta girl. Well, good on you for sticking with that. We probably all should do a little bit more of that. Well, let's move on to talking a little bit where you all have traveled. Michael, what's your favorite place you have traveled?
Recently, I really loved Vienna. I went there with the family. Toured around via bicycle. We did a cool Passive House tour there with Gunter Lang, who does those. And I don't know if it was the tour, the city, the architecture, or just how much good food and drink we had. But Vienna was a lot of fun.
Awesome. John, how about you?
A tough one. I lived and studied in Leuven, university town in Belgium, for 3 years. So I'm pretty partial to that. I've visited twice since and may actually be stopping through again this summer. It's just a adorable little medieval town, kind of forgotten university, great food and drink. Yeah, I'll go with Leuven, Belgium.
Awesome. Shannon.
Well, I'm a bit of a homebody, so I really like anywhere around what we call the Della Riviera, which is anywhere along the Delaware River between New York and Philadelphia. I'm right in the middle in New Hope. But my real favorite place to travel to is the future with a PH. So I like to see ideas nice. Like this one become part of the everyday. So that's the best destination.
Well, good on you. Well, let's learn a little bit more about what we do outside of the PH, and we'll talk about that with the people that aren't quite familiar with all that stuff. But what, Michael, what do you like to do, or what is your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos we're going to talk about around Passive House that we passionately call the art of construction?
Well, I bike a lot, but I'd say definitely my favorite hobby or interest is painting. I paint and draw almost every day. I use it as a good way to start the day to stay creative, especially when I've got design projects in the office. And it's a good way to kind of start the day in a creative way before you get into the business end of what we do.
Awesome. John?
I would definitely say it's music. I've always been passionate about music. I'm an amateur musician in a number of ways. Since the pandemic, my project during the pandemic was to learn tenor banjo, which is banjo played in Irish trad sessions. And I've started to attend some Irish trad sessions in Brooklyn. That's been my focus recently.
All right. And Shannon?
I like to get into a little bit of everything. So community engagement is kind of my thing when I'm not at work. I help out local students and environmental groups and municipalities. And sometimes, I know this is a little work related, but tech schools.
All right. Well, a lot of times we break out podcasts like this one into separate series or different episodes, but we really wanted to bring kind of everything together here. And how we're going to go on this journey today is we're going to kind of kick it off with Michael, who is he's planted the seeds and the starter of this thing. And then circle back with John, who has taken the Passive House Accelerator that Michael started and partnered with their Source 2050, and then bringing it home with Shannon, who is the day-to-day consultant. So Michael, let's start off with you. What is your story that got you into Passive House?
Well, it's a great question. So about a decade ago, we did a project next to a guy by the name of Sam McAfee, who is a contractor, and Ken Levinson, who is an architect. And it was a typical townhouse in Brooklyn. It's a beautiful townhouse in Brooklyn, as was theirs, landmarked. And ours had 12 tons of cooling and radiant heat all over the place and control systems and all the great things you'd want in a high-end renovation. And theirs had a little baby Mitsubishi up at the top and nothing else, some fresh air. And I made fun of Sam for 2 years because that's what I do when I don't know what I'm doing. And Sam for 2 years walked me through that house. And of course that house was a passive house and it worked really well. It was really incredible. And you could feel that how good it was, how clean it was, how it just felt good. So anyway, I hired Sam to be our consultant for the next number of jobs. And over a decade later now, we've done about 15 or so passive houses. They're all historic masonry retrofits. Right now, we're doing a bunch of different types of projects, like a ranch house, and we're doing a prefab commercial building upstate. But we do a lot of historic stuff, so we're doing a lot of stuff on the inside. And it's been a really, really fun journey. And in terms of just the accelerator, if you want me just to kind of keep going with that, I can.
I want to go all the way back to the beginning, Michael. Tell us about starting the Passive House Accelerator. How did that start and what is that all about?
Yeah, so I would say my Passive House journey was as rocky as a lot of people's are when they jump into it, which is one of the reasons the accelerator exists. There wasn't a lot out there to learn from, so we learned as we went. I didn't have a systematic approach, which I do now, which for me makes Passive House closer to cost neutral than ever, where we know what to do, we know how to do it, it's repeatable, it's shareable. And then what was happening is I was talking at a whole bunch of different conferences, kind of all over the US and Europe, Japan and China and a whole bunch of places, which was a lot of fun. But what I learned when I went to all these conferences is how many other people had so many other answers, really good answers. Like, you know, it's like we have this incredible problem in this universe called climate change, and we actually know the answer. Like, how many problems do we all have that we, you know, people are studying the answers forever? In this particular case, you know, we've got the answers, but they're all siloed. You go to the conference and nobody ever hears about it. So the idea for the Passive House Accelerator came about. I launched it about 3 years ago. And it was really designed to bring together that community, practitioners, contractors, architects, mechanical engineers, all of whom liked to talk about it at the bar and so forth after these conferences and in sessions. And it was just a great place to share items and lower that bar of entry. And Zach Semke is now the director of that. Actually, the Passive House Accelerator that most people now know is really created after Zach Semke joined it. I was horrible at it. It's not what I did well. I'm an architect. I like being an architect. I'm not a tech guy. So Zach really made that what it is. And we've got a whole bunch of great people with us now. Mary James, a whole bunch of great hosts, including Shannon, who's on now, who have also been advisors, kind of helping us through. And then what the accelerator does, because it's one of my pet peeves, and I'm sure, Devin, it's yours too, because you're in the same world I'm in. So many people say things can happen, or they describe something that could happen, or they want to happen. So the way the accelerator set up is every week we have a project on there, and it's a project that is being built, was built by a person right now. And they have to describe what they did. They have to show how they did it. They have to show what they used. And then very, very often they'll show who they used. So if I'm another builder or architect or a developer or a homeowner, I can say, okay, I'm not the first one, and I'm not starting at zero. So that's the story kind of behind the accelerator.
Yeah, and I definitely, speaking from attending those, that's my favorite part. And I come to as many of those as I can, wherever I can, because the presentation is actually showing and telling of what they're doing, not theory, right? And there's plenty mm-hmm. of theory and textbooks out there, but when you actually do it, instead of just in the lab, it's a different thing, especially with the historical buildings and what you're going after. So, mm-hmm. so thank you for sharing those experiences and the conversations, what that's all about. So I want to move on to, from the Passive House Accelerator, from understanding it right, your life of architecture. Thank you for all the work that you've done in the industry. You've now changed that and you've created a vision of what we're calling Source 2050 as a new platform. Can you tell us about the vision for that?
Yeah. So from pretty much the day I started doing Passive House projects, I have dreamed that a marketplace would exist. The system that is currently with us is 100% not efficient. It is not scalable. We have no shot at hitting 2030 or 2050 goals because nobody knows where to buy anything. Forget about speccing it, but it's just too difficult. And then there's a select few who do, and there's some smaller companies who a lot of us are addicted to who do an incredible job at doing it. But we need to really scale this. And just like the Passive House Accelerator was designed to scale things and the informational end of it, very similar to what this podcast is doing. What Source is being designed for is to scale the ability to get materials and to get the right materials. And so it's a marketplace. It's what exists for shoes and other things that we all got used to. And in this particular case, it's what makes it possible to find the right materials. John has been instrumental in the accelerator from the beginning. He's been an incredible advisor through it all. And I didn't really have the skill set to do a marketplace. It's not what I do. I also really like my day job, and this is kind of a monster. But John really does have a skill set. He's an attorney who's been an entrepreneur for quite a while, lives in a Passive Plus house, and understands everything that's around it, and also went through it and had a hard time finding materials. I mean, I probably spend an hour or two a week still telling people I compete with everybody else. Anyone who's been on the accelerator very often, I'll get emails afterwards. Where'd they buy this? How'd they get this? Where'd they buy that? And so what this really does, it's an outlet for all of us, including me, to say, hey, guys, we should sell this. You should have this on the site. And it's a place where people have the ability to, again, not start at zero. And the kind of final thing I'll say about that before I'll introduce John is in my world, I have, you know, maybe 5 or 10% of the people who I work with who will spend the time with me to research something and find it, find the right person and talk about it. Then I've got like 90% of the people who are like, listen, I got a deadline. They've got to move in. And in life, that's the world I'm in. I'm a residential architect. I'm on deadlines. I've got people with families. They've got to move in. So if it can't be made easier, if it can't be scaled, it's a problem. It's not realistic, no matter how much we all want to do it. So that's the whole history, you know, behind where kind of Source 2050 came from. And but honestly, you know, if I hadn't co-founded it with John, it probably would never have gotten off the ground.
A couple of things I want to reiterate there is, like, Michael, thank you so much for saying the thing about construction is impossible to do it yourself. And that's the part you're continuing to talk about, is you have to know what you're good at and what you're not good at. Right. And mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that stuff of when we're doing this podcast, you got to bring the right cooks to the kitchen. And the part that I am super excited to turn the baton over to John and talk through, like, the real world part of, we talk a lot about the Amazon effect, but I laugh a lot of time when you go onto Amazon and you see buy a house in this for whatever. And it's like, construction is way too complicated to just hit an easy button. So you have to have different platforms for that. So John, thank you for being here. John, what is your story that led you getting into Passive House?
Yeah, thanks very much. So as Michael said, I was an IP attorney for about a little over a decade, working at firms and working in-house with companies in the tech space, startups, and was working with a company that was actually looking to bring European-designed prefab and modular products into the U.S. So I was looking at not just the IP issues, but also zoning, state of the market in the U.S., so forth. And it was right around the same time that my wife and I are townhouse in Brooklyn was kind of falling down around us, and we hit the limit of kind of Band-Aid work that we could do to hold it together. And it was sort of either bite the bullet and do it or move. So we decided to go forward with a full renovation. And we were looking at Passive, and we met Michael, and we started talking about Passive. And, you know, as soon as you kind of come around the learning curve and you start to understand what it entails, it's really hard to imagine not doing it that way. There's just so much common sense built into it. So that sort of opened for me a 2-year period where both at work and at home, I was learning a ton about construction tech and the promises of Passive House and energy efficient construction generally. But what we really saw in the course of, and the project was successful. It wound up being the first Passive Plus certified house in North America. We had a great solar array that was put on, and so we were able to check those boxes and get that certification, which we're really proud of. But I saw, you know, in the course of that project, that there's an enormous amount of promise and also at least two pretty substantial bottlenecks and drags that were going to stop potentially this from being adopted as broadly as it could. I thought it was really important that it should be. You know, there's a lot of attention. This is a decade ago now, but even today, there's a lot of attention to decarbonizing the grid, moving to more renewable sources of energy. But if we're not at the same time lowering the loads that are on the grid, it's, you know, if we're pushing everybody to electrify, we're just never going to get to a place where we'll be able to support that demand through renewables. So I think it's as important, and it should always be part of the same conversation of what are we doing to build more efficiently to get those loads lower, so a fully decarbonized grid can actually support it. So therein I saw the massive problems with Passive House, where you can get your, you know, your utilities down, you know, to 10% of what they were before. But what we saw in the course of my project, and just learning more about it from Michael and others, is that there was a real difficulty in trade to trade kind of exchange of skills. You know, like I think that you referenced this before, there's a ton of academic work and energy modeling and white papers and building science and the rest of it, which is fantastic. But for, you know, the team actually there in the basement that's got to seal it up airtight, where do they learn how to do that? How do they go and see how someone else has done it? And Michael, you know, had implemented a really interesting program where he had his contractors visit his other job sites to actually learn from one another. And, you know, I thought that was fantastic on a small scale. And, you know, this something like that should be made more broadly available. So he invited me into a working group, an advisory group that was thinking about this issue. It's what grew into become the Passive House Accelerator. And as I said, once we found Zach, they needed much less advising. Zach has picked up the reins and just been incredible with what he's done. Honestly, it's inspiring. The community he's built there, it's just phenomenal. But what we saw is, you know, that the second bottleneck was really going to be sourcing. That even in the course of my project, we had, you know, product, you know, being loaded in Hamburg and shipped in a container to Brooklyn, unloaded on the street. And these supply chains were just going to be really difficult to scale on, and there needed to be a better way to deal with that. And we even saw that in the course of the success of the accelerator, where, you know, the project profile events inevitably had in the Q&A and the chat, you know, as they're presenting, this is how we sealed this window, or this is how we installed this system in the basement. Well, wait, what was that? What was that you used, and where did you find it? And do you have a phone number for a dealer or distributor? And, you know, how do I get that? Is it available here? So we could see, even from the experience of the accelerator, there really was this demand for, you know, a single place where you could find these products. And so, you know, Michael and I have been talking about it, you know, pretty seriously. And like he said, for about a decade, he's been looking for there to be something like a marketplace to exist. So we started to really think seriously about it. And a year ago, October, at the FIAS conference in Tarrytown 2022, we announced that we were thinking of doing this, that we're going to call it Source 2050, and that we wanted to learn more about how it could be helpful. So we started doing roundtable discussions with architects and engineers, specifiers, contractors, sales reps, manufacturers, to learn about their processes, to figure out where were their pain points, what was difficult for them that a marketplace could solve. Would they use a marketplace as it existed? What would it have to do for it to be useful? And really took that seriously, because we knew that we couldn't just build, you know, a solution that nobody wanted. We couldn't just foist a new thing on to an existing, you know, workflow, because the last thing anyone needs is a middleman and another level of inefficiency, you know, when deadlines are so tight as it is. So we took very seriously all that feedback that we got, and spent about 6-9 months figuring out what we could achieve and building it, getting some developers to work on a kind of platform, an MVP, to see that it would work as a proof of concept. And then started talking to vendors and had amazing reception among the vendors, people very interested in it, and started signing them on. And finally got us to just last end of October last year, or 10 weeks ago, at the FIAS conference this year in Chicago, 2023. We threw open the curtains, announced that we were live, and it's been incredible. The reception has been, you know, exactly what we hoped it would be. The vendors are very excited, and it really is helpful for them. You know, there's so many, even the best funded, you know, biz dev departments at these incumbents, they're incredibly inefficient processes that they're using to try to find the right job for their product, to get in front of the right decision maker, whether that's the contractor, the owner, the specifier, at the right time. It's a lot of inefficiency, people running out to job sites on cold calls, all the rest of it. They want this too. They want a way to find their customers more efficiently. And that's before you even get into the amount of innovation that's out there. New companies starting up small don't have the resources to do that kind of biz dev, but they've got a great product. They just got to get people to learn about it. And it's very hard to do. Just get out there. In international companies, European companies that are coming into the U.S. for the first time, that have great products, they're thinking about setting up domestic manufacturing, but they want to test the market first. So just a ton of innovation. Even some of the incumbents releasing new products to adapt to the demands that are coming from new legislation. You know, all of this product coming online, just it needs to be available in one place. So the reception has been fantastic on the vendor side and on the customer side. We did the smartest thing we did, I think, is that we realized that people really needed an orientation to understand how we work, specifically how the platform works and how it works. It can work with and optimize your existing workflows. And so we brought in Shannon as our in-house passive house consultant. And she has been working with first-time teams that want to use the platform, that want to understand the advantages of what it does and how it can work for their systems. And she's just been fantastic. You know, she'll set up a orientation call with the new team, walk them through what they're trying to do, show them how to use the tools on Source 2050 to identify the best products, and then package them all together into these spec lists that can be shared with their teams. So I could go on, but I would love to hear, actually hand off to Shannon when the time is right to talk through what those functions are.
Yeah, I totally
are.
Agree with that. And so, John, what I wanted to just pause and reflect on is to say, Tribe, it all, the origin story of this thing started of you had the biggest pain, you need to fix it. You were like, I don't want to move, but I want to stay here, but I want to, how can I do this? And Michael, as the visionary, went out and said, you know, let's figure this out. And then we were, and I commend you all. This is not an easy thing to do, to put all this stuff together on a platform. And first it's who, it's this team that we're talking about. And then what is understanding, like at the beginning, you talked about, we know the problem is climate change and these answers, but they're such siloed answers of trying to figure this out, right? And so you are, it's that business client relationship. And I'd be a little bit edgy here to say, I raise my hand, Tribe, and say, when the client is an attorney, sometimes we have to, we look at that a little bit differently, but if you got to run through everything to figure this out, because attorneys, they are the contractors, right? That are helping us to make sure we're building better buildings, right? And so, John, thank you for doing that and your passion and launching this out. So, Shannon, I want to turn it over to you and talk about a little bit more. We've been talking a lot about the origin story and on the business. Talk a little bit about in the business of Source 2050 for us.
Absolutely, Devin. It's my pleasure. And thanks for inviting us to share Source 2050 with the Art of Construction Tribe. I agree with you. It's putting this together, first the what and then the how, but then it's the who. You know, how can we meet design build teams where they are and add value? So just like Michael and John, I'm really excited to share the process our typical users follow, because we've had great reactions from both designers and builders so far. So I'm involved with Source 2050 and Passive House Accelerator, first and foremost because of their combined missions to get high performance, carbon smart products and practices into the hands of every designer and builder. So I think those high performance builders and designers, I think they love it because it's free first to hop onto the website, start an account, and immediately begin to find, compare, and specify products, and then share them with their teams. This is the dialogue to get us out of our silos. This is what we do when we all hop on Zoom together. We've got the structural engineer, the mechanical engineer, we've got the builder, we've got the pricing guy, you know, or girl. And to be able to use a tool like this, where we can put all of these products into a matrix and compare them side by side and look at them for the things that we're speaking about in that moment on any given project, whether it's the structural engineer needing a certain compressive strength, Source can sort by that. Whether it's the certification we're going for, we need a zero toxicity product, we can source can, you know, filter by that. We've got a red list filter. So once we establish that workflow for folks, then they can even reassign the ownership of the spec book they create on Source to the next member of the team. So if people are new, we want to meet them there. If they're advanced, we want to meet them there. And that, I think, is why we make such a great team, because we've all been part of the process in one place or another. And so we have a good time finding out what it is our customers need and being able to connect them with the products and the manufacturers in a way that make it easy for them to not only specify it, but then purchase it. They can see right away if it's in stock. And they can also talk to John personally and say, I've got a huge project. I need to get some bulk pricing on this. Can you help me negotiate that? And he can go straight back to the vendors to talk that through. You know, we also have people who care more about not just passive house, but performance and cost and supply chain. So immediately they want to know, not only is it in stock, but after I place an order, how fast is it going to update so I can see, you know, for my next project when I go to order, will it be there? We've got the lowest locked in pricing. We've also got immediate updates from our vendors who can access the source and update their products right away. So it helps designers find the fastest, most affordable, healthy path to zero carbon, zero operational energy, or whatever they're looking for. But beyond that, back to the mission piece, we really want to encourage all of our manufacturers, large and small, to start that process on getting environmental product declaration sheets. Because when we look at energy, when we look at materials, we're really thinking about embodied carbon too. That's what the conversation is shifting toward. And we want to help everybody look at their project through that lens. So getting an environmental product declaration sheet, or an EPD, as most people refer to it, that is a big part of the process. And right now, that's kind of the slowest part of the process for everyone. And we want to help people be able to find those. So we're trying to partner with some of the leaders in carbon accounting or EPD curating to make that happen for them. And that even includes bundling products into kits for new builders or new teams. It's their first time out, you know. They want to see, has this been used on a project before? Has this been used in my climate before? And so we're bundling kits together by project type, by climate, and we're going to roll those out as soon as they're ready. So yes, we're a startup. Yes, we're onboarding new products every single day. Yes, we're helping teams every day, but we're really looking toward the future. We want to incubate those carbon smart products. We want to help them get to market in version 2. And we want to integrate our softwares with the leaders in environmental product declaration and easy accounting so that we can all get there faster together. So we even share my calendar with people. So you can grab a spot on my calendar just by going to Source's website and starting to use it. And you can also just reach out to us at source2050.com anytime. So we like to also remind everyone that we, just because I'm the in-house passive house consultant, we are not here to do your consulting for you. We're here to help you think about how Source can get you there. So we don't replace your passive house consultant in any way, shape, or form. That's always the first step if you're into passive house or just high performance building. Get a consultant, model out every project, but then stay tuned with Source and keep in touch with us because we can help you get your project there.
I absolutely love your passion, Shannon. Every time you speak, like, you truly have the passion for this, and that's what we need to push this stuff forward. I think about some of our recent podcasts and figuring out how to, you don't have enough time or money to niche in on everything, right? So I raised my hand and you talked about the EPD. I had to double check in my mind, okay, environment product declarations. And I repeat this stuff back because a lot of us, if you're not niching in, you don't quite get it all, right? And you have to have these sources to put it all together, but then also niche in, like we just had show 293 with Andrew, the founder of Havelock Wool, and talking through how you use that. Or we just had, I think about Ren on show 292, the cradle to cradle, creating the circular economy, and where they're taking these different sources and niching in. And that's where the Art of Construction platform is all about, taking all of us and putting together, because sometimes you can niche it to a point where you're missing the bigger picture too. And I see that happen a lot of, how do you eat this elephant? It's one better source at a time, right? So thank you, Shannon, for that. One question I'm very curious, John, if you can take the floor, of how do you plan on working with manufacturers? What's that process look like on the Source 2050 platform?
Sure. And it was great you mentioned Havelock. They are on the platform. They're available through Express 2050 as well. Great product. So it's we just have started off focusing on the envelope of the building. It's most important to us, and then the mechanicals. And those have been the two categories that we really started on. So insulation, tapes, membranes, thermal breaks, fenestration, so forth on the envelope. And now pushing into ERVs, HVAC, heating and cooling, renewable energy sources, and so forth. That's sort of the second focus that we're building out now. We have a bunch of announcements coming up the next few weeks in those categories. What we're looking for really are products that either are certified for Passive House or can be used or have been used in certified Passive House projects, energy efficient products. We want to know our vendors really well. Want them to be good citizens, stand behind their products, really support their users and support us, stand behind what they say that they will do. So we do not have a sort of formal requirement or formal checkbox to get on the platform. It just starts with a conversation with me and some other people from the team potentially to see what you're working on and if we think it's a good fit for our customers. And then we go forward and we have a very simple commission agreement. So we are funded by the sales of the products. So it's totally free for the users, for architects, engineers, and contractors to use.
Thank you for sharing that. We have to really understand the business part of it, right, John, and figuring out how the transaction works. And I think that's one of the huge paradigm shifts of getting to use the right product on the right place versus how the traditional markets work. So I've spent 25 years in windows and doors working for others and 10 years of owning a window and door company. I have a pretty good breadth of seeing just because you can doesn't mean you should and vice versa. Sometimes they don't do the right thing just because of legacy stuff, how that works. And something that I really want to put on the table here today is like from getting educated from great tools like the Passive House Accelerator or getting into a fireside chat around understanding insulation and walls in a better way, like our recent podcast or upcoming one about with Alan of Genesis Architects, getting into someone who has a company that has specialists around building envelopes, understanding these different niche in. But then the part I really want to challenge, and Michael, I want to pass this to you, is that I say there's not enough Passive House principles or products being built out there, in my opinion. And when I go to these different niche in conferences or places, it's how do we get more of this out there? And do you hope that the Source 2050 is going to allow us to increase the number or the amount of passive builds in the US? And because you go around other places in the globe and you hear these stories and it's just so obvious, but you come right back in your backyard and you go out and drive and see what's happening. You know, what is your hope and your source around sourcing 2050 around increasing passive house builds?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I'm seeing it just a massive uptick in clients knowing what it is and wanting it. I mean, most people don't know that you can have a house that's sealed from most bugs and dust. They don't know they could have filtered fresh air 24/7. So once they know they can have those things, a lot of people forget all about high performance and saving the planet. They just want a better house. They didn't know you could have those things. And a lot of our builders want to build better houses. So the market is coming, and that helps companies that might not have jumped into creating a slightly higher performance level in some of their products to jumping into it. And there's just a lot of stuff out there. One of the things that I am excited about with Source is that it's a solutions-based platform that's systems-based, meaning I can take a whole project that I'm working on and I could show it on the accelerator from like, you know, the bottom to the top, and all of those materials can be sold as a system on Source 2050. We've got a whole bunch of people coming into this market because their cities or states are starting to mandate this, and they're pretty freaked out. They need to know where to buy this stuff. So what you could do is you could take this building type or this house type, show a successful project, very similar to the way the accelerator is doing it, where the accelerator has people who are coming on who have built it. Well, on Source, you're looking at products that have been installed on houses, because risk is a big deal for architects. It's a big deal for contractors. and you need to know that it's been used somewhere. It's got to be tagged where it's been used somewhere. So I think all this helps with the adoption, because I think it brings more contractors to the table, because it's less risk, more architects, more clients, which eventually I think brings more companies. But there are already a ton of them out there. And just bringing those into one place, it would be such a breath of fresh air. It would be so helpful. Even if I was just building it selfishly for my company, it would be really, really helpful.
If I could add on a quick thing there. So I mentioned early on that we really started this by receiving information. We created these roundtable discussions, talked to every stakeholder, everyone that's involved in these projects to understand what they wanted, you know, how this could be helpful. And we've really taken that seriously throughout, down to the services that are available and the product categories. So we rarely ever have a conversation with someone where I don't finish it by asking them, what don't you see? What would you love for this to do? What products are not there now? What could we be doing better? And we're being really, really responsive to that. I would say at this point, maybe a third of the products that are on the site, something in that order, came from those discussions. They were not things that we were focused on originally. And we talked to an architectural firm in Manhattan, and they said, I struggle to find high PSI thermal break material type of stuff you put under a window, load bearing. Just aren't really good options out there. And we went around, went out to the market and found a bunch of great products in that category. And as you can imagine, from our perspective, those were easy conversations to have. So talk to the vendors and say, hey, there's a real demand for your product. I can't find it. Can we list it for you? Can we sell it for you? So we are very responsive to that. And we are very solicitous of those suggestions. If there are products that you struggle to find, or just solutions, things that you need solved, you don't know if it's one product or a combination of products, but this is the thing that trips you up every time. We would love to know about that. We want to be problem solvers. And that extends really to the functions that that Shannon highlighted before. The filtering system, you know, it's incredible to me. You just starting in Chicago, standing at our booth, you know, with the screen up and showing people how it works. You go in and you start with go into membranes, you know, pick a category, subcategory, and you've got a couple dozen products, and then you start checking the filters. It's got to have this PERM rating. It's got to be this fire rating. It's got to be a red list. You know, start clicking those filters and boom, 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 boom. All of a sudden you're down to two, maybe three products that fit those exact specs. And then you can compare them side by side. You know, in some ways, it's the way we've been shopping for lots of things for a long time online. But no one really has done the work of digging into the product declarations and the certifications and the rest of it that are in these products to make sense and categorize all of this building science and put it in a way that's consumer relevant, that allows people to find the products they need that they're trying to specify with those metrics. And then second, you know, what we heard is that there's a real struggle with the handoff, you know, from the design team to the build team, where the build team is getting a set of drawings and they're calling out all these things and the specifications are there, but they don't know where to find this stuff. It's not available at a Home Depot, and they're calling the architect and they're saying, hey, what did you mean here? Where am I supposed to find this? Do you have a number for a distributor? They're calling around, you know, the contractor. Now they're air traffic control, got five different trucks making different deliveries with all these different products that they found at all these different distributors. You know, it's madness. So we really focused on trying to find a way to bridge that gap, allowing the specification team, the design team to build an offline shopping cart, a spec book that Shannon was discussing, where you can drop in products that you're calling out in your drawings and get a link. And you just send that link along with the drawings straight to your contractor. And the contractor clicks through that link. And there's everything that's in the drawings. It's all there. It's priced. It's lead times. And they can set up delivery directly to their job site. And a lot of those deliveries are coming packaged together on pallets, you know, from one or two trucks. So there's, you know, there's efficiency on that side as well. So it's been very exciting because those are the two features that people told us they wanted. And those are the two features that once we built, people were most excited about. So that's a great confirmation that what we're doing is in the right direction. But it is definitely just the beginning. There's a long pipeline of features that we're working on now for version two, which we're hoping to get out to the public this year. But we're also really open, ears open, as people are starting to use it now to hear things that we haven't thought about. As people are going, it's, hey, wouldn't it would be great if you could do this? It'd be great if you could do that. You know, we're really interested in that. We want to build something that's going to be helpful first and foremost. So lots of great stuff to come. Shannon talked about EPDs. We're in process now to get those pulled in a sensible way that makes sense. So you can actually compare side by side. Integrations with software, with design software and project management software, all that's coming. So all to say, we take it seriously that we are trying to build something that is helpful, and therefore we are still really solicitous of feedback and advice and suggestions from people as they start to use it and tell us, what do you want it to do?
Awesome. Well, we'll make sure to have you follow up in the Master Facilitators group and in the show notes on how all that stuff's worked. Shannon, anything you'd add to that?
Yes, absolutely. So to get to your question about Passive House adoption, I mean, that's really why we're all doing this. We aim to integrate our softwares and make this process so much easier. We really want to see the metrics that ASHRAE is using and that the IRA funding is creating this year alone that are driving the metrics that Passive House are based on be accessible. So, you know, we want Source to, as a specifier, like Windows alone that you mentioned, Devin, trying to shop for a window and create my own matrix about all of the different elements that make up a Passive House window is very, very daunting. And calling manufacturers and asking them, you know, hey, do you understand the solar heat gain coefficient? I want it different on my south face than my west face. And can you help me with that? And sometimes, you know, it's really hard to find the right person, even at the manufacturer, who can answer those questions. So to have a matrix that will do it for me across a couple of manufacturers is really, really key as a specifier.
What do you mean? It's all the same. Nothing's different. You just get glass.
Oh, right. It's only one, what are you talking about? One item that we're But then giving it to the builder is so key. Like right now, if I want to build a Passive House and specify the products before Source, I was calling my builder and saying, all right, what supply house are you using?
Well, and being a trusted partner, right? There. Like that's the part we're all trying to figure out. Like being 25 years in Windows, like being on both sides of it, I think I have a pretty good breadth of like living it day in, day out for 25 years as 15 years selling Windows and 10 years of being the owner. I can tell you the way it actually works in most production US window companies is they take the same stuff and they spin it in marketing all different directions to confuse because they want you to lose. A lot of them, they don't, it's making it a simple kit of parts. And to do glazing exposures on understanding that it for real, it's just too complicated if you're just doing it as a standard take the order, right? And that's why we call our team in Colorado our trusted advisors. And it's a 3-year cycle that they go through to really understand how coatings and different things work just in glass. And they'll take the same glass with, we represent 28 different manufacturers. The same glass will be called 28 different things. How do you actually figure that out? And then you turn around and say, oh, wait, but I'm going to use this Passive House out of Europe somewhere. And they don't even have English install instructions. And that's where the shit hits the fan because somebody actually has to do the work. And I'm going on a tangent now, but that's why I'm so passionate about this stuff is that it's just too complicated. So good on you for saying, how do we source this stuff to simplicity, right? That's what John was talking about.
How do we standardize it? Because that's the issue is everyone's doing it differently. Even architect spec books, they're all different. We may be using the CSI format, which is exactly what we're moving toward with Source as well. But without standardizing the process of comparing these things with the actual metrics that matter, it's really hard to make a choice. And that's where Passive House is a great tool. We're using those metrics. And that's why ASHRAE is going to use those metrics. That's why the IRA funding is going to be tied to those metrics. And it's only because it saves energy. And now, when we look at those metrics in terms of carbon, too, it's how we're going to be able to account for carbon. So right now, we want to make an easier path at the checkout so that we can look at our footprint, not only from cradle to gate where it's being manufactured, but cradle to site. So, you know, ultimately, it would be wonderful if in our cart, we can see that footprint right then and there based on how many units we're ordering. And then from that manufacturer to our project site, how far is it going to travel at that leg? So we can become fiercely place-based and really talk about not only the metrics, and the climate where these things are going to perform, but how far they have to go to get there.
Well, here's the part, and Michael, I want to pass it to you, but I want to put something out there. Is the beauty of running the mic here is that the intro says a micro influencer and most of the time a disruptor. I challenge people that haven't listened to some of these podcasts, go back and listen to the podcast when I was in the Passive House Accelerator trying to understand hosting an EMU class here in Denver, and this other person talking about FES versus fee. And I'm like, what are we talking about here? PH this and PH that and all this. And I went in and had the podcast of what I'm challenging us all here, tribe, is that we all have to make a buck for education if that's where you're living. But if we're all speaking different languages, and I've been kind of a disruptor in this whole world, because if we're creating all these different dialects of the language, how do we have a common source? And to me, the materials is a key place. So that's why I was so excited to talk with you all here, because when I heard the story, and you can go listen to the podcast of fee to fee-is, how you rate and how you do this stuff, you don't have enough time to understand all that, right? And I think that's what Shannon is talking about, this kit of parts. Michael, what other obstacles or maybe disruption am I talking about that maybe you could shed some more light for me?
Oh, no, I'm right there with you with the disruption. I have been accused of it way too many times, but hopefully in relatively good ways. But either way, we're in an industry that needs to be disrupted. I would say, you know, the point I would make is, between the 14 or so that we've done, and we've got another 14 or 15 going now, we've done 30 something passive houses, certified houses. We've done a bunch that aren't. Two of those clients came to me wanting one. So I actually don't really want to pin this to Passive House or Passive House Institute or Passive House Institute US. People want better buildings. And then when they realize, and by the way, I'm a big fan of getting it certified through one of the certifying bodies. I can tell you I'm on jobs that are certified, jobs that are not certified. The jobs that are not certified, they don't get the same level of care unless you really are after people. And you, when you think about it as a builder or an architect, you are not being protected. It is really not a smart move, and it doesn't cost a lot more to go through the certification. But anyway, coming back to my actual point, a lot of my houses aren't full guts. I mean, people would kill me if I gutted these houses. And a lot of my builders, they just want to build better buildings, and they're into it, like really into it. They don't care what you call it. And they're excited to learn this stuff. And excited to teach me stuff immediately after. I teach them stuff. I teach them stuff. So for me, it's education, educating people on that it's actually out there, that it's easier than they think it might be, that there's ways of doing it that's relatively risk-free, and that there's lots of guides. And Devin, I think some of them can be found on your platform as well. I mean, I feel like there are guides. You have people who can help you through this. And I will use my office as a great example. We're a design firm. I don't do any mechanical engineering in my office. A lot of us are passive certified. I don't do any of it in my office. I use building type a lot for mine. If I can do it, anybody could do it. And I really believe that the clients want it because enough of them know it exists now. And now that they know it exists and they can have it, I'm asked it all the time, why don't more people do this? It's because they didn't know. Because right now, if you're building a high-end home in any climate that gets relatively cold and you're not building a passive house, it's because you didn't know that it existed. Because right now, I'm living in one, my heat's not on. It was 19 degrees in New York, my heat still wasn't on. I've got big walls of windows and I've got no radiator next to them. I've got no duct next to them. So all the things our clients hate that we install and cost money, we don't have to do in these high performance houses. So it's just making it simpler and making sure that it's not this big monster elephant in the room. Sorry, that was a bit of a rant as well. Sorry about that.
No, it was a great rant, Michael.
We need it. We need that. And as we're working to close this thing out, I just want to take a moment and say thank you all for taking the time to where that's what this platform is all about here on the Art of Construction, is to build better buildings. But to do that, you have to get educated, right? And you have to have a passion enough to give a shit, to care enough to move this thing forward. So as we close this thing out, We're going to go Michael, John, and then Shannon of our questions we always ask of this guiding light of how do we use technology to move this thing forward, but yet live one foot in the digital world and one foot in the physical world of actually doing the work, right? And that's what I love about this platform. And we're honored to be affiliated with Source 2050 of what you guys are all doing here. So Michael, what is your crystal ball for the future when it comes to technology in construction?
I'll use the word collaboration. So one of the things that I love about the Passive House community is, and the high performance building community, is everybody likes to share stuff. So I, with the accelerator helping your site to help share some of this knowledge and other sites, I think that's the future. But in terms of technology and construction, I'm probably going to steal some of John's thunder, but it's really exciting with what we see Source being able to do, especially in the future, and how it can start to tie into some of the project management software, how it can tie into some of the other items, some of the drawing software. And again, as someone who's helped builders estimate or how I try to estimate it at what we're designing, it's really exciting how possible and how not so far in the future that really is. Sorry, John, if I stole your thunder on that one.
Well, John, he says he stole the thunder, but I know you're going to bring the thunder. What's your answer to that question?
I mean, it's a different angle, but very much aligned. But I would focus on transparency. I think that what technology allows us to do is really understand more about the products. It's one of the great reasons to be doing a marketplace, is it puts us in this kind of privileged position to allow people to make smarter decisions when they're building. It's something that you just couldn't do if you didn't have a marketplace like this where you could compare products side by side. Obviously, we're doing that now on the actual performance metrics. But as Shannon was discussing before, we're working on EPDs. I think it's a hugely important question that people raise. We're building really well to lower operational carbon, you know, by down to 10% potentially, which is fantastic. But that's not fantastic if we're really upping our embodied carbon and we're filling the walls with styrofoam or whatever, really terrible material. And it's just creating this massive carbon sink to achieve the operational benefits. So that really has to be weighed. And it's really important for people to be able to make decisions, purchasing decisions, based on the consequences of those products. They need to be able to see transparently what is coming through those products. I think that is going to be the trend. And it allows us to really bring that information in a transparent way into the market. One really looking to the future thing that has stuck with me is a presentation a few months ago about child labor and enforced labor at the beginnings of some of these supply chains, you know, mining and rare materials and the rest of it that go into some of the materials that wind up being used in these products. It's not something anyone's really focused on right now. And I was glad to see that somebody was. It was frankly a disturbing presentation. I can see that maturing to a place where they're able to provide something like an EPD, a declaration on a product where they have traced all the supply chains down to whether these labor practices were used or not, and having that number attached to the product so that, again, the purchasing community can make a decision based on that kind of information. So technology really allows us to make more informed decisions. And as those sorts of further metrics become available, they can all be brought together and to have a marketplace to present them is, I think it's going to be hugely important.
Love it. And Shannon, what is your crystal ball for the future when it comes to technology and construction?
I think the future is health. I think it's health through monitoring indoor air quality, affordability, and automating the process. As soon as folks see a house that's going to save them money on their utility bills and allow them to leave their inhaler at the door if they have an illness or not have a noise-related problem because they live near a train, or a heat-related problem because when the power goes out, they're stuck in a boiling or a freezing building. I think that health and safety through monitoring and automation and affordability are really the future of buildings.
Love it. And what is that one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about as they go out there and crush and grow their business, Shannon?
Work together and work with us. We're here to help.
Awesome. John, what is that one thing you want to leave our builders to think about as they go out there and crush it and we all work together to grow our business and build better buildings?
I would go with Shannon. It was collaboration. They're great people. We're all rowing in the same direction. We have to see each other and push us all along.
Outstanding. Michael, bring us home, my friend.
Mine would just be to keep doing it. Just build it. Build beautiful buildings. Beautiful buildings do not get torn down. People love beautiful buildings. So if you keep building, you keep going, you do a nice job, building lasts forever.
Absolutely love it. Hey, we're such big fans. Thank you all for what you're doing with Source 2050 and moving construction forward. Thank you all for coming in and sharing your story.
Our pleasure, Devin.
Thank you very much for having us. Thank you.
Wow, so much gold. And it's kind of like when I go to a passive house accelerator, I'm like so overwhelmed sometimes, but yet the guide is there. That is one of those conversational tools. And the Source 2050 is this guide to deal with this problem of climate change. And to kind of begin with the end in mind, we have the answers, but I challenge to say they're siloed answers. And we have to be able to source this stuff to put it all together. And we have to figure out at the beginning that Michael was talking about, and I couldn't agree more, as the Art of Construction platform is very similar. You go to different conferences, whether a niche conference or a big, large conference, that's the sea of sameness. It's those happy hour conversations that really drive the program. And I'm a huge fan. I love when he said his origin story was like, we had to move the Passive House Accelerator. We had to accelerate those happy hour conversations to move this forward. And shout out to Michael for building a team. And I love how Zach presents and does a wonderful job in those programs. And it's many people, all of us coming together to do our part in the art of construction. But the part that I love about this platform and why I was honored to have them on the podcast, this is not just theory and textbooks. What they're talking about is actually doing it. And as the podcast we just recently had with Alan, the director of technology at Genesis Architects, he starts out by saying the most sustainable building to start with is to work with the building that's there. And a lot of times when it comes to crusty contractor, the easiest thing to do is just to tear everything down, but that's not what they're all about, right? And so we have to figure out how to get the right material easily. And we have to figure out how to understand how the world buys in the Amazon effect, but we don't have time to go another route a lot of the times. I raise my hand and say, it's when can you do that? How do you do that? But it's got to be simple. And figuring out these client business relationships, just like John did as an attorney and being a client to Michael as the designer, and now launching a whole platform, what a cool story. And then being able to niche in and understand, what are the source triggers to make a platform work? Like they talk about zero toxicity or EPDs, things like that, that we will continue to niche in and evolve on our different platforms together. And we have to figure out at the end of the day, the part that I think is where it's really changing. I think about really cool cats like Mark Willey, who is jumping around. It's like how that guy does 20 webinars a day and still does everything else is just amazing. But why I bring his name up is because it's educating online. There's so much now, so much content out there. It's forcing this good change because this education is the people that are doing it. I could challenge just like John did at the beginning. He's like, once I got educated, this is a no-brainer. But we have to put more and more and more. It's like our friends at 475 and all these other podcasts we do, and they're doing so much educational content. And then you have to have a platform, right? So I love the name. I love everything they're about. Source 2050 is a platform, but they're taking these different kit of parts to understanding what is your kit of parts that you can then go to the different municipalities or jurisdictions. And then they said it perfectly. It's all about understanding risk mitigation or management at the front end so that you can then have an easy button. And I paint this picture and I love how they said, meet up with Shannon. I'm going to do the same, where you can source down to say, here are the right sources for that project when it comes to cost of procurement. But the part I'm going to challenge them and follow up with them is, there's one thing ordering it. Who's the warriors that's going to do it? And how does the different parts connect that? Because you could have the best product in the world. I've been doing it for 25 years, but if it's not installed right and it's not a connected kit of parts, it doesn't matter. And that we all learn by doing, right? And so the products used, they have to fit the platform on all parts of the customer care wheel. And that's where it all is coming together in our Master Facilitators program, because then you're doing less of pointing the finger. And there's way too much of that going on in construction, and it needs disrupted. I love when Michael and I kind of went on our tangents and said, damn it, it is. It needs disrupted, and we need disruption to standardization. And then we have to figure out how we have these right tools to certify to do this better. And I, you know, I may raise my hand and say, sometimes I challenge standardization or fees, but the part that my big takeaway from Michael was, is that certifications are forced care. And then you're proud about it. Like John can be proud to say he has piece of paper, but that piece of paper forces this to happen. And so this is good, right? And we have to figure out that you have to run to these certifications, and the builders that we want to be in part of this is what we call master facilitators. And at the end of the day, technology has created this transparency. And I think that's this paradigm shift we're in right now in the art of construction. And then through sources like the 2050 marketplace, we can fast track that. And you know what that does when we fast track this? It lets our builders be builders. It lets our designers be designers. It lets our engineers be engineers. And we can all be master facilitators together. Crush it out there, tribe.